God, that God, everything that she is in God's face for, we just give him praise for Apostle. And we already know that by his stripes, she is healed and she is
Amen.
right on the work of the Lord. She will do
Amen.
all those things that God has commanded her to do. God has told her she will do. God has told her she will see. And so we say thank you in advance for the things that he's doing in her life, in her, and through her right now. To God be all the glory. Apostle Etta Banks.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise be unto God, praise be unto God. Thank you, beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To God be all the glory and the honor. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful for another opportunity for us to come together as a family, praise be unto God, to worship Him together. Now, y'all know that today is the first Sunday. This is normally our what is it? Our Freedom Sunday, praise be unto God. And it's going to be a slight twist to it today. You know, I started the Deliverance series last week. I want to continue on with a piece of it today. However, in this, you are able to talk back to me, okay? I want you to talk back to me. Ask questions. If you agree with something that is being said and you've got a brief testimony that you want to share, do that. So we will still be keeping some of the format of Freedom Sunday, some of the format of Freedom Sunday. Now, last week we did, I can't remember whether it was 10, 11, or 12, open doors to demons. Open doors to demons. Excuse me. And we got a lot of comments about it. You know, thank you so much, son. It was 12. Okay. We got a lot of comments about it. People were able to see where there were doors open in their lives that allowed the enemy, you know, to continue to operate and so forth. And today, what I want to deal with is one of the most common grounds. Let me get my screen share. One of the most common grounds of I start to say rejection. Rejection is one of the most common grounds where the demons come in and attack, where they come in and attack. Just one moment here. Let's see here. Oh, Father, now I had this all lined up. Okay. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all, forgive me. Okay. Okay. All righty. So, rejection is one of the areas. Again, like I said, it's the most common place that the enemy attacks us. Rejection is the place where the devil sets us up good for rejection. He begins in the womb for a lot of people. It begins in the womb. And in it beginning in the womb, I've seen it where people picked up the spirit of rejection in the womb in unwanted pregnancies, and carried on, and they carry rejection straight out to their death, straight out to the death. They will carry that spirit. Let me just take you real quick on a trip of a baby that is in the womb and is not wanted by at least one of the parents. The woman is pregnant. It's an unwanted pregnant. She may have wanted the child, but the father didn't want the child, or the mother, whichever the case may be. She ends up, you know, not loving the baby in the womb, in the spirit. Remember, we're all spiritual and a spirit, and we pick up in the spirit. So the baby is not feeling love in the womb. The mother has the child. The mother can't bond with the baby, okay? Especially if this pregnancy was one that came from a rape, even molestation. You know, there are all kinds of reasons why this pregnancy could have been unwanted, but the mother is unable to bond with her child. She takes care of it, but there is not that close bond. Then it gets to the place where the child is going to school. And by the way, this child is not the first child that the mother may have had. They may have other children, and this child doesn't look as good as the other children, isn't the same complexion as the other children. Hair texture is different, this, that, and the other, all kinds of things where now the child is rejected by the siblings. The baby goes to school. Kids laugh at her or him, tease her. They could be smart as I don't know what and get teased for being too smart. You're a nerd. They get called names. They could have dyslexia, all kinds of stuff, and anything that would cause people to pick on them. They go on through elementary school to high school, never get taken out on a date, never being asked to the prom, go to college and get their degrees and so forth and so on. But because they are of a certain ethnic background, doesn't have the liberty of getting hired where they know they qualified for a job and they don't get hired, or they end up getting hired someplace and working in a position, praise be unto God. They're real good at their position, and some other young buck comes out of college with a master's degree, and then you end up training that person, and you're training that person. That person ends up becoming your boss. Rejection, rejection, rejection. You end up getting married. You marry somebody that you believe that loves you, but then 2 or 3 years into the relationship, you find out that he or she is cheating on you. Rejection, rejection. That rejection takes you right on up to your grave. The root of rejection. Rejection can be inherited, just like what I said, in the womb. It could be that your mother was rejected, your father was rejected, your grandparents were rejected. It can become a generational thing of rejection. You have the tree of rejection. The roots here, the re rejection, the fear of rejection. You do self-rejection. Lovelessness, attention seeking, resentment. And you see all of these branches, all of these branches on this tree of rejection. And you can cut off any one of these branches, but and things can grow back. If you don't get the root of the tree, if you don't get the root of the tree, that rejection is going to come back. Praise be unto God. We want to look at now the fruit of rejection. Now, first, let me ask you this. When we say the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of rejection, what does the word fruit mean? I need y'all to answer me. What does the word fruit mean in these statements?
Evidence or characteristics?
Absolutely. Who said that? I didn't see who said it, but whoever said it, that was right on. It is the evidence. It's the pardon.
Demetra said that.
Oh, thank you, Demetra. It is the evidence. It is the characteristics. It's the attributes of that particular whatever it's the fruit of, whatever it's the fruit of. So we're going to look at here the fruit of the spirit of rejection at work in our lives. We're going to look at that. And as we look at this, I want you to see, I want you to understand again that I say this, I want to say this now. I think I did last week about the fact that every bit of this is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Every bit of it. You are not locked into this for the rest of your life if you do what is necessary to do to be free of it. So let's look at some of the fruit here. You find yourself, and as we do this, you're looking at this for yourself. You're looking at this as you are talking to other people. It'll help you to understand your children, your spouses, your employees, your employers, your co-laborers, the people in ministry. The church is filled with people operating from the spirit of rejection, operating. They saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but still have a rejected spirit within them. So let's look at what some of the characteristics are. You find yourself comparing your circumstances or your situation with others, and you never seem to measure up, no matter how much. Oh my God, I just thought about a conversation I had last night about that same thing right there. No matter how much you try, you don't measure up. And let me tell you, let me tell you the piece that I was sharing with someone last night on this very same thing. You never seem to measure up. Y'all, look, your pastor's being real, what's the word now? Transparent right now. Okay. I have been in three serious relationships in my entire life. Three serious relationships. Naturally, you know, in each one of them, the man said that he loved me. I said I loved the guy. And everybody has their preference on what it is they admire about one's physical characteristics. Praise be unto God. Okay. The first one was my children's father, and he was a leg man. He loved legs. Okay. I had the skinniest chicken legs. I still have the skinniest chicken legs you could ever want to see. So, needless to say, I didn't measure up physically for what he liked. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. The next person, a gentleman that I dated and was engaged to, he was a breast man. Needless to say, at that time, mama didn't have it. Okay, I'm just telling y'all as it is. Did not have it. Praise be unto God. I was still a little chick then, okay? Did not have it. Hey, but bless the Lord, so be it. That's it. Then the last gentleman, and I was married to him, he was a rear end man, okay? He liked the rear caboose. I got my Caucasian ancestors. I'm as flat as you can. So needless to say, I never measured up. And I was very conscious of it. I've got these men saying that they love me, but they let me know, you know, but I like that over there too. I like that over there. That was rejection. And so I want you to see that it's not just in the spirit, you know, again, the hair, the color, the lips, the whatever the case may be, we're comparing ourselves all the time. I'll pray that I hope that's the last transparent moment I have today. Amen. Okay. You feel like you missed out on life's opportunity and now it's too late. Well, here I go again. 23 years ago, God gave me a vision for this ministry. He gave me a vision for this ministry. I came into this ministry gung-ho. Yes, God, I see it. I got it, and so forth. And here it is. Now, that was 23 years ago. I don't know how old was I 23 years ago. I'm 70 now. Somebody do the math. You know, I'm 70 now. So whatever age I was 23 years ago, that's when I got the vision for this ministry. However, in 1978 is when God told me again about having, you know, a new vision for life. Here I am, 70, will be 71 in a couple of months. Will be 71. That vision has not yet come to pass. Do I think sometimes it's too late? Yes, sometimes I think it is. But I thank God for the prophecy, the prophetic word that comes from the men and women of God, that God is speaking to them to speak to me. It is not too late. You're not too old. You're not too sick. And this, that, and the other. And then in the natural, the people that accomplish major things at late ages and so forth and so on. Saints of God, look, I know I don't look 70. I don't feel 70. I know my body hurts and so forth and so on, but I am not giving up. But there are people that will give up because they feel like they missed out on life's opportunity, that there's no way for them to accomplish the dream that they had. That is also a spirit of rejection. You even reject yourself and what it is that you could possibly accomplish. There's no amount of encouragement that's enough to convince you of your worth. I'm telling you, beloved, again, I deal with this when I'm counseling with people and so forth. Sometimes you can talk until you're blue in the face, as they say. And no matter how much encouragement you give somebody, they don't receive the encouragement. And why? It's because that root of rejection is so deeply rooted. It is so ingrained in them that they might agree with you for a moment, but it only lasts for a moment. All it takes is a sneeze. All it takes is one word to knock them back off of where you have tried to build them up to, and they're back in that same pit of rejection. And no matter how much encouragement you give, is not enough to convince you of your self-worth. Beloved, that is rejection. You feel rejected if you're not greeted or acknowledged by leadership. Excuse me. Acknowledged by leadership, and especially in the church, especially on your jobs. You can be doing fantastic work in the church, behind the scenes stuff, and the people that are doing the in front stuff, they're the ones that get acknowledged. Those of you that work in the background, and those are mostly your servers. Hear me, y'all. You know I know the gifts. The servers, the one that have that servant spirit, the spirit of helps. They're in the background. They're doing things that you don't see. And yet the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, even the evangelist, all of these people, they're out front and you see them and you thank them and this, that, and the other and so forth. And you don't get acknowledged. Rejection. Rejection, you're doing a task with your job. There's a team effort and you're doing the job and it's a great project that y'all did, completed it. It was wonderful. And one of your teammates gets all of the credit for it. And you're the one that did most of the work. Rejection, 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 rejection. You constantly are seeking approval of others and you suffer from people pleasing. This is so tiresome. You want to please everybody. Nobody is caring about you, but you want to please everybody. It makes you feel good when you have satisfied other people's needs and their desires and you're taking care of them. But you're seeking approval all the time. And that is a very tiresome place to be. Let's take it here. Even as a church, we can have a great praise and worship team. Don't start me on the praise and worship team that we had. Awesome, anointed praise and worship team. The keyboard player, drummer, all everybody, the singers, everybody, awesome. Nobody could come into our church and leave out of there without saying how great our praise and worship was. However, you didn't have enough for the children. You didn't have enough for the teenagers. You didn't have enough teachers to break it up into many different classes and so forth. So you try to do all of this and get all of this done with a small group of people that you have. And you can't get it done. So then you end up trying to do some of it yourself. And you end up getting two people to try to do 10 people's jobs. And before you know it, everybody that's doing anything is worn out. And then the people you were trying to please, they walked out of the church. They left, you know, because you couldn't satisfy them. And then somebody else comes in and you try to please them. It's tiresome. It is tiresome. And you feel like a failure. You feel like you're lost. You feel like you just can't do it and so forth. It's tiresome. Baby, please God. Please God. Please God. I remember one review I was getting at the job I had before I became a pastor, and the review was a decent review. It was good. It was good. But there were one or two areas on it that he and I disagreed on. And I end up saying to him, "You know something? I have done the very best I can in these two areas." I said, "And right now, all I want to do is please God. And anybody else that wants to be pleased, they got to be pleased with what I've given God. And if that doesn't please you, then I'm sorry, but I can't give you any more than I've already given." And he looked at me and he said, "Please forgive me. Maybe I have judged you wrong." And I wanted to say, "You certainly did." But I didn't. I didn't. I didn't. But just some people just take advantage of the fact that they got the right to judge you, or to say what you're doing, good, bad, or indifferent. But again, this is dealing with the spirit of rejection, beloved. It is dealing with the spirit of rejection. Okay, you are easily offended and often embarrassed from discipline or correction. This is another one that I find very interesting. There are people that do things, all of us, we do things, and at times we need corrected. And as a mature person and/or Christian, none of us wants to be embarrassed by the correction. We don't want to be corrected in front of other people. And this offense or embarrassment, it doesn't have to be in front of anyone. It could be just you and the person that is correcting you. And you are embarrassed that they corrected you. You are more offended and embarrassed by them correcting you than you are about the issue that you are being corrected about. So let's say you did a job and you're in the accounting department and you put a wrong number in and you messed up the total, that needed to the bottom line. It's messed up because you made an error. Your boss comes to you and tell you that you botched up, you messed up, and now it's going to call for hours of work to try to find this mistake. And your first thing is to defend yourself. "Well, I worked on it all day long. I did everything that I could do about it. I don't know what else you want from me. Da 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 da." And you didn't have to come at me like that. You're too busy defending yourself. Because right now you are offended. You are embarrassed. So now, again, you're not concerned about the error that was made. You're concerned because somebody has hurt your feelings. That comes from the spirit of rejection. You're always trying to prove yourself in public, always trying to prove yourself in public. Watch some of the people around you. Again, it goes also with the people pleasing part. You want to please people. You want to prove yourself in public. You want to prove that you can. Let's say if you're in a band, you're in a band, and it's a five-piece band. All of the instrumentalists are great. They're all good. They're all good, but you want to play your instrument louder than anybody else's, so that everybody can hear you and end up concentrating on you instead of the group as a whole. In public, you want to prove that you were good. Maybe this is one of the reasons, and I love hearing it. This is one of the reasons with bands that they give the drummer a chance to play by himself. They give the keyboard player a chance, let him play by himself. They give the horn player, saxophone, whatever they get. Let them have a moment, so that they don't overcrowd and try to overdo each other and not let the beauty of the group and the unity come out. They give them a piece to do a solo by themselves. But you're always trying to prove yourself in public. You feel like you're on the outside looking in during interactions with people. You'll see this a lot when people go to gatherings, whether it's a meeting or whether it's a party. You go to these things and everybody is grouped up in their little groups and everyone's talking and so forth. And you end up being the wallflower. You're sitting someplace. Nobody's coming to you. No one's talking to you. But you also are not making yourself part of the group, part of the group. Do you know that spirit of shyness is rejection? Being so shy is because of fear of rejection, or you've already experienced rejection, so you protect yourself. And so you are shy, you hang back, and you want people to love you, you want people to come to you, and so forth and so on. However, it's not done because they don't see you as an inviting person sometimes. Now, of course, when you're a little child, you know, it's not, you can't help yourself. But again, when you try to speak to a child and he hides behind his mother's leg or skirt, you know, or he runs out of the room, whatever the case, that baby is dealing with rejection. Saints of God, and we don't try to force that baby to say hi and force that baby to do this, that, and the other. That's an area that you need to pray. That's an area that if you look at, you'll see it came through the bloodline. It came through the bloodline, probably. What were you saying to that baby was in your womb? What did somebody else say to your baby when that baby was in your womb? So again, these are the evidence of the spirit of rejection. And you believe no one cares or no one understands you. No one knows what you're going through. I remember when I was teaching this the other day and saying, we think that nobody else is going through. And I like to look at married couples. You have married couples that have been married 20 years, 30, 40, 50 years. I have a woman in this building that she and her husband have been married 70 years. And he passed away recently. They've been married 70 years. You look at these relationships and you say, oh God, oh Father, I wish I was in a loving relationship, a long lasting relationship. And look at them. They look so good together. Look how he dotes on her and how she dotes on him. Yeah, that's what we see in the public eye. What is going on behind closed doors? You have no idea what's happening behind closed doors. And then what's going on behind those closed doors, you know, the person that's, let's say it's domestic violence that's going on. And you think that nobody else is going through this domestic violence but you. But you may be in a room of 10 couples, and there may be three of those couples going through the same thing, but neither one of you have told each other that this is what I'm going through. So you feel like you can't share, you can't get counseling, nobody will understand it. They will talk about me if I tell them. They will talk about him or her and so forth. So we end up keeping this stuff inside. We end up keeping this stuff inside. Saints of God, the root and the spirit, there's two. One is the root of rejection. The other is the spirit of rejection, the fruit of the spirit of rejection. Beloved, these are just 10 obvious evidence that you have been rejected. And like I said in the beginning of this, you can be delivered and healed no matter how old or how young. You can be delivered and healed of this. Understanding that this particular demon normally is generational. It's normally generational. That's why you could pick it up so easily. That's why you can so easily be offended, because your parents were offended, your parents were rejected, and so forth and so on. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. Yes, we operate from this place. The rejection comes with unforgiveness. We don't forgive the people that's rejected us. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. The bitterness leads to hatred. The hatred leads to murder. And that murder can be in the natural or in the spirit realm. There are times we wished people were dead. We have murdered them. We have murdered them. Saints of God, I pray that when you hear these things and you say, wow. In fact, when I did this particular thing, Tabika and I, on the radio show yesterday, I got a call and the person said to me, That was the heaviest show that you've done for me. They said, because I walked through every last one of those things. There wasn't one thing. And they began to examine themselves and they began to see how they hurt other people because they were suffering from rejection. They began to see that that spirit of rejection was why they act the way they act. People that deal with the spirit of rejection, some of them will be the most arrogant people that you've ever want to meet. They will be narcissists, okay? Because they got to do that to protect themselves. They do that to protect themselves. Beloved, this is not uncommon. Remember in the beginning, this is the most common demon in our lives, that spirit of rejection. I pray that as you looked at this, as you've heard this, again, to understand that you can overcome this. You can overcome this. And as we continue on in this series, as we continue on in this series, you will know how to do some self-deliverance. You know, I got people calling me like crazy now, wanting us to have deliverance sessions. And yes, we will have them. But there is a way for you. So you may not be able to get me. You may not be able to get somebody else to do it. You can do self-deliverance. And we will get to that point in this teaching. We will get to that point. What I would love for you to do right now at the end of this, at this point, I want you to get your communion. I want you to get your communion because this is covered by the blood. This is truly, truly covered by the blood. And oh my gosh. And Donna put it up there for me last week, I believe. Or either I said it. In the word where it says, "And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy." The communion table, okay, Father, thank you. The communion table, I want you to picture, first of all, where Jesus first took communion. He was sitting at a table with his disciples. He was sitting there with his disciples, and he took the bread and he took the wine and said, "This is my broken body and this is my blood." And he took that and he said, "As often as you take this, remember me. Remember. Remember what it is that I've done and what I'm going to go through and do." However, 12 disciples, but Satan was at that table as well. He was at that table in the person of Judas. The spirit of Satan was in Judas, and Judas was going to point Jesus out for him to be captured and taken to the cross. Judas was at the table. So listen to this. That scripture verse says, "And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy," in the presence of Satan. Jesus prepared the first communion in the presence of his enemy. Here we are today, going to take communion. And as we take communion, remember that scripture, in the presence of my enemy. So God didn't wait for our enemies to be gone before he prepared the table. He didn't wait for them to be gone. What is your enemy? Is it rejection? Is it sexual abuse? Is it drug addiction? Is it pornography? Is it unforgiveness? You, whatever name you got to put to it, any demon, is it your sickness? God didn't wait for your enemy to be gone before Christ went to the cross and died for you. It was in the presence of your enemy that he did this. So today, as we look and take this, the word says, in the same night, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Saints of God, I want us to take the bread. I want us to eat of it now. I want you to understand that this is the broken body of Jesus Christ. This reminds us of what he did for us on the cross. On the cross, he brought about the healing, the protection, the provision, the love, everything that we needed. He brought it about on the cross. Take and eat of his broken body. Do this in remembrance of what he did. Amen. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after sup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Take and drink of the shed blood of Jesus, the shed blood that brought about our healing, our deliverance, and all that we needed. Take and drink. Praise be unto God. Now, Father God, as we have discerned what your body did for us on Calvary, as we have discerned it, Lord God, I thank you that the power that is in the blood, your blood shall never, ever lose its power, God. Lord, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows in the lowest valley, Lord God. Father, it will never, ever lose its power. I thank you that the spirit of rejection was overcome by the blood. I thank you, Lord God, that all of those open doors that we had with demonic influence, God, it was overcome by the blood. I thank you, Lord God, that greater is he that resides within us than he that is in this world, Father, and that's the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us can prosper in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I praise your holy name. May we forever acknowledge you. If we take communion monthly, if we take it weekly, if we take it daily, if we take it multiple times a day, there's power in what we've done. I thank you again that it will never, ever lose its power. It will never lose its power. Praise be unto God. I thank you, Malkia. The scripture is in the 23rd Psalms, 23 and 5. Whenever you read the Psalms 23, whenever you read it, remember, in the presence of your enemy, God did this. He did this for us in the very presence of your enemy. You don't have to wait till he's gone to pray for him to be gone, to pray for him to be overtaken. It's done in his very presence. So while we are sick, God, you, by your stripes, I am healed. While we are having mental disorders, Father God, by you, I have the mind of Christ. Discern what Jesus did for us on the cross, and may you forever walk in the power and the authority of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a praise. Let's give him a praise for what he has done.
Thank you,
he
Lord.
Has done. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you for your
praise
word,
be
oh
unto
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Oh, glory, glory, thank glory, you. Glory,
yes,
glory, glory.
Yes, glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Before, let me see. let's see. I know we normally, if y'all have any comments, I'm going to ask you to hold any comments right now so that we could do the offering and the family hour, and then we can get the comments, because we know that Minister Kyle has an engagement, and I want him to be able to. Thank you.
Sorry.
Hi, darling. How are you, sweetheart? God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I just want to applaud you and celebrate you. That was such a powerful teaching, and so relevant, because as you said, that is a door that the enemy, he wants to step through, and he uses it. You can even see it in the scriptures where he uses it over and over. As you were speaking, one thing that came to mind for me was just a reminder that I believe that the enemy, I believe that the enemy seeks to use that door, because he recognizes that we as believers, the word of God says that we're going to be rejected.
Yeah.
So as believers, we need to realize and expect that rejection is going to come. And at a certain point, we have to become sound in who we are and our identity in Christ Jesus, who he is, what it is that he has called us to do. Amen. But that just came to mind for me. It's just, I think a lot of times as believers, we overlook the scripture that talks about the fact that we're going to be rejected. Yep. If we're walking upright for him, I mean, I believe we're going to be rejected regardless. But but especially if we're walking upright for him, we have a guarantee that we're going to face rejection. So I believe that the enemy likes to plant those seeds in advance, mm-hmm. so that when the rejection comes in regards to your walk with Christ, you just fall away.
That's right.
Now, you just so offended. Right.
Absolutely.
So rejected. So amen. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Anyone else? And I want all of you to remember too that Jesus was rejected. Okay. He was the most rejected of any of us. Jesus was rejected. Amen. Go ahead, Mark.
I just wanted to share this very powerful how you use the fruit of rejection. And Demetrius' definition is the evidence, and mm-hmm. just to see that there's an evidence in our life of rejection is something that is, as someone said, I'm not sure who said it, but we can look back at ourselves retrospectively and just see where we've dealt with rejection. I look at it for myself and see where I've dealt with rejection, but glory be to God, I'm not in that place. I'm walking in who I am, who the great I am says that I am, and no longer mm-hmm. rejected or rejecting myself. But mm-hmm. I just thank you for sharing that. The fruit of rejection, it just really opened my eyes to being able to see and also minister to someone else who's dealing with the rejection, because we all, once again, show evidence of it in our lives that we even try to hide and mask. But those very things that come up about and those things that seep out are the things that we can't mask or the things that we haven't been able to hide even from ourselves. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Tabika, go ahead, honey.
I also wanted to say that when you deal with the spirit of rejection, that sometimes you hear things that people have not said, you interpret it wrongly, and then you react to something that was not what the person said or was not meant the way that you heard it. And so I just wanted to put that out there, because, you know, the enemy will skew things and make us see things. When we're dealing with the spirit of rejection, we see things that aren't true or not necessarily seen through the correct lenses. Being delivered from all things is good. And I shared yesterday on a radio show about how when we were in the basement on Ike Miller, how the anointing and the spirit of the Lord used to be so heavy in that basement.
Yes.
And we would have like deliverance session services, like it seemed like every Sunday, every other Sunday. And I remember this particular time, I think Mark and I were on the floor, if I'm not mistaken, being delivered, and just the feeling of, it's just like feeling these weights that were lifted off of you from that deliverance. Like I could actually feel all the heaviness that I carried for so long being lifted off of me. And even when I stood up physically, I felt even lighter. So, mm-hmm. you know, deliverance is a good thing.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, Malkia. Praise God.
Amen, everybody. I was just going to add, just be careful in how you react to people that are dealing with the spirit of offense or just general. I'm losing the word. Hold on. Deliverance. Sorry, couldn't think of it. That need deliverance. And so I'll give you an example that I had. One of my leaders that worked in my organization have a problem. And I didn't realize what was going on at the time, that the individual did respond to me very negatively. But I knew something else was going on because that wasn't that person's character at all. He immediately attacked me. And I said, there's more that this person is going through.
Right.
I felt it immediately. So, and rather than to give him the same energy that he gave me, I actually responded differently. And I said, what I think I hear you say is this. And I really feel like there may be some other things that maybe perhaps we can talk about that led up to your level of anger right now. And I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest part, because your flesh requires, it kind of pushes you to respond the same way in which somebody else responds.
Yes.
But if you pause for that moment and you really were listening to what that person was saying, there's some underlying things that were going on. And that person did reveal to me that, you know, they were going through some things in the family, and he actually told me about what that was. And we prayed and everything. And he has been able to grow and starting to build his relationship with God as a result. So if I took that, didn't take that time and pause for that moment and hear what he wasn't saying to me, it could have gone very differently. So I just say, take your time, pause, and make sure that you hear what people are really trying to say, and don't respond the same way in which they respond to you.
Awesome, 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 awesome advice. And I hope y'all heard, you know, because I listen as carefully as I can, not perfectly all the time, but as careful. I hope y'all heard something that she said that was one of the teachings that we did. Her whole action, it was one of the teachings that we did. Did anybody pick up something there that would have reminded you of a teaching we did? Okay, just let me tell you real quick. She could have reacted, but instead she paused and responded. Remember I told you, reaction. When something happens, bam, we react right away. That we're reacting is out of our flesh. We didn't even get a chance to think about it. You know, you just immediately go crazy and doing whatever it is you want to do. What we're supposed to do is stop. You pause, you pray, you do whatever you got to do, and then you respond. And the other thing that she did that I tell couples, especially when I'm talking to them, what I heard you say, or what I'm hearing you say, because again, the enemy from out of your mouth to their ear in that space, in that second of time that it takes for your words to get to somebody's ear, that millimeter, the enemy twists and turns and does all kinds of things to that word. And I'm telling you, the woman could have said, the man could have said, you know, you are a beautiful woman, but she's in a place of rejection herself. And all she could hear him saying, you know, I know you wish you were a beautiful woman. The man didn't say that. He didn't say that. But that's what the enemy would twist up. And that's what she received. And if she didn't say anything to him, walk away with, how dare him say that? That I wish I was beautiful, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, saints, the many lessons that we are taught here, you learn these lessons, you'll end up putting them to practice sometimes without even realizing it. And communication is one of the biggest things in any relationship, is how we communicate with one another. And asking God, as you're praying, ask God to give you the spirit of discernment. Just like she discerned, there was something else going on there. Kyle said with what the person that he was, he discerned that there was something else that was going on there. So ask God for the spirit of discernment as you're dealing with these things. Anyone else? We good? We good? We good. All righty. Okay, well, beloved, I want to thank each and every one of you again for being with us today. Thank God for... Yes.
Hi. I forgot to say it was March birthdays.
Yes. Malkia?
Yep. Malkia will need to